I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Be seated. I believe that everyone, at least according to this, signed up to speak in the public hearing time. We have two public response times. One is item number three, which we're on now, which is public comments, which you're restricted to 3 minutes for public comments. But tonight, since we have 11 people signed up, and I've refreshed myself on the rules for public hearings, we can set the time limit for public hearing comments. So tonight, I would like to set that at 6 minutes. Is that fair? Okay. So I would ask, this is a request. Yeah, I guess.
Is that 6 minutes continuous or can it be?
Yeah, it needs to be continuous. Okay. Yeah. Request is, and this is strictly a request, y'all, please, just to help us out. If you would not repeat yourself, just give your thoughts and let us have it. Because we're interested in what you have to say. But don't feel like you have to use the 6 minutes if you don't have six. But I would like to restrict it to 6 minutes just so because there are 11 speakers. That's over now. Is that fair? Okay. Here's item number four, fiscal year 2022-23 budget. Let's first receive comments from our city manager.
Okay, Mayor, Council, public attending, thank you for being here. This is the public hearing to receive comments on the proposed budget and also the tax rate. The council will be setting that tax rate tonight. The tax rate that they set tonight, however, can come down from that rate, but it cannot go up. So the tax rate that the council talks about tonight, votes on tonight, may be a little bit higher in the end than what's than what. Thank you. Tell me if you can hear me. Okay, how about now? Are we good? Okay, I want you to be able to hear me. And thank you, Dr. Anderson, for the suggestion. We don't know when we're sitting up here whether you can hear us or not. So again, we'll be setting that tax rate tonight for a vote. It's not going to be the final tax rate. Just as this is not the final budget, it's the proposed budget. If you have been following the process, this is a very lengthy process that started back in June. And what we've been doing this year, especially more than ever, is trying to provide very clear, detailed information to the council in manageable chunks so that they can understand the process, starting with the capital improvements plan. If you're wondering why we have so many of these projects and equipment plugged into the budget, you can take a look at that capital improvement plan. It's a 20-year plan that provides a lot of detail in the first 5 years, specifically in that first year. That first year's projects are typically those projects that end up in the budget. Those priorities for the most part are set by master planning efforts the city has done in the past, whether it's transportation, water, or whatever the case may be, comprehensive plan and so forth. After that meeting, the city council told us what their priorities were. If you look at the presentation that we give every time, we always start with the council priorities, and you can see what categories all of those projects or initiatives they're interested in pursuing fall into. So we did publish the budget. It's a state requirement to do these things, schedule these things, just like this public hearing ahead of the budget adoption process. So again, this is not the final product, but as we're narrowing down, there's really three big areas that we're going to be talking about that affect the general fund that will affect what rate the council, tax rate the council adopts. As you've noticed, a lot of you have made comment, we do have a number of new positions plugged into the budget. Some of those have a general fund impact, some have no general fund impact. So new employees will definitely affect what that new tax rate is going to be. employee salary increases is another one. As you heard last time, for those of you that were here, the CPI is at a very high rate. It's currently close to 9% inflation rate, which, as David Kellum, our finance department, reported last time, that's the highest it's been since 1981. So we're seeing that very high inflationary rate. So we don't want to over-project on salary increases, but we don't want to under-project either. Just a note on salary increases and hiring new employees. And when I ask this question to someone that hires a lot of employees in the organization, I asked her what her expectation was for a new employee coming on board, and this is what she told me. No specific experience. They show up at work most of the time, and they put about half of what I asked them to do. So, unfortunately, that is the type of person that is applying for our positions, and that is what we're dealing with. I'm not sure why that is. So, the third category that we're talking about, of course, is capital needs. Capital needs that, again, impact that general fund. If you, again, look at the information that we provided the last time around, just the Parks Department has $614,000 in capital improvements. Then they're included in their budget. But if you look down through there, they're prioritized. If you look back at the capital improvement plan, there's a lot of detail on why those projects are justified for being included. So, again, a lot of information that they provided to the council on the panel, a lot of questions that we received, we can direct individuals to that information. A lot of this is about to roll out to the council, very clear, minutes, claims. Information and also for public benefits that you can take away. Mayor, unless anyone has any specific questions either on the council or otherwise from at this point, we will get into virtually presentation. We'll get into the first presentation, which will primarily concentrate on property tax rate, and we will I'll check a little bit throughout that presentation and council. Please feel free to just one side note, as I'm looking outside, you can't even see across the street. We are along the level of the street. If this is a point where it looks like we're going to have to evacuate and move across, we will talk about things being at a separate place. Unfortunately, I guess we don't have enough public hearings that bring the way. So, again, we're keeping an eye on that to let everybody know. So, thank you for being here.
Hello. We did receive one written comment from a Jet Burns, and he admits to not being a city resident in the county, but recommends that we adopt a minimum revenue tax rate and adjust the budget as necessary. So that will go on the record. Okay, presentation on the
start with some information here.
Okay,
the moving revenue tax. Tax rate is the tax rate that's calculated that provides the taxing unit approximately the same amount of revenue it received in the prior year in properties that are taxed in both years. If the property values rise, the voting revenue rate goes down, and vice versa. The voter approval rate is the highest tax rate that a taxing unit can adopt without holding elections in voter approval from that rate. Voter approval rate is split into two separate rates. There's the maintenance and operations rate. Then is the tax rate we get to raise the same amount of taxes that the tax unit levied in the prior year, plus the applicable 3.5% on the amount. This rate allows for things such as salaries, utilities, and day-to-day operations. The debt rate is exactly what it says. It's the rate that includes the debt service necessary to pay taxing his debt payments in the coming year, the accounts for the principal and the interest payments, were secured by property tax revenue. Several questions have come up of where you get that 3.5%, and it's not as easy as just taking the rate and multiplying it by 3.5%. Take the adjusted no new revenue and the no rate, and then adjust for sales tax specifically to reduce the property tax. That gives you a rate, and then you multiply that times the 3.5%. That gives you a rate that is then adjusted for sales tax and for the use increment. The total of that is our overall rate, which has been calculated as 2.264. There's also a Venice tax rate, and that is the taxing unit's revenue, revenue maintenance and operation rate, plus a rate that's when applied to the current total value of taxes that would give the city $500,000 in additional revenue. Then there's the unused increment tax rate that is also calculated. This rate can be used to increase the voter approval rate depending on the rates adopted by the city in the previous years, 3 years. The unused increment rate is a 3-year rolling sum of the difference between the actual adopted tax rate and the voter approval rate. The city has the ability to bank any unused amounts below the voter approval rate to use up to 3 years. If the city adopts the voter approval tax rate 3 years ago, then that rate would be zero. As far as property taxes are a major source of revenue, the general fund and the debt service. And the departments that are included in our general fund are administration, police, fire, streets, parks, development services, health department, municipal court, and engineering. Part of our sales tax that's collected reduces our property tax. So in the late 1980s, the state changed the law to allow for an extra 1.5% of city sales tax for the specific purpose of reducing the property tax rate. This required an election, and of course it passed. The city sales tax increased from that time 1% to 1.5% beginning in 1989. The sales tax adjustment rate is a little over 11 cents that it reduces our total property tax. The rates that have been calculated this year are the no new revenue rate at 0.165262, the voter approval rate, the highest rate we could go at 0.221641. The Venice rate was calculated at 0.192311, and the unused increment rate is 0.436156. There's also a tax break for homeowners age 65 and older. One of them is a freeze on property taxes, yet you have to apply for that. Once you apply for that and receive that exemption, the property tax are automatically frozen and the amount calculated for the first full year of the taxes on the way. I've got a couple of slides that you can see. It's basically just some property tax rate history from about the last 10 years, showing what our maintenance and operation rates were, interest in sync, and what the total tax rate was for the city. Then there's a property tax rate history for all of the entities in Melissa County. This can be found on the appraisal district's website. And basically, that compares from 2009 to 2021 the different tax rates for the different taxing entities in Melissa County. The city's portion of the total tax rate in this county is 5%. City failed to keep our tax rate lower compared to other cities. due to sales taxes for one that contribute a large source of funding for the city's general fund. And one of that is funded by our visitors that come to Fredericksburg and shop here. City departments always helps. They don't always spend their entire budget, so sometimes there's some savings at the end of the fiscal year. That fund balance can be carried over. It takes a conservative approach with new employees. We have asked for several new employees for the new fiscal year. But right now we have full-time active employees, about 180 employees that have staff and provide services to the city. We are just trying to make it here. As far as how to calculate the property tax and the building revenue rate, you would take your property value times the tax rate and divide that by 100. The average taxable home value this year is $410,979. So to calculate that, we would do $410,979 times the building revenue rate of 0.165262 and divide that by 100. And your city property taxes would be $679.19. The calculation for the frozen homestead properties is calculated by the tax assessor collector, and those frozen homestead values were $626,755,347. And the frozen homestead tax is $925,706. Taxes, assuming a levy revenue rate of $0.165262, excluding frozen properties, we get revenue of $4,198,081. And then you would add the amount of frozen taxes to be collected from those properties at $925,706, which would be total revenue of $5,123,777. The next slide, I'm sure it's hard for y'all to read because it's hard for me to read on the screen. But basically, that's a calculation listing about 8 different tax rate scenarios used and the property values, and it you could go down that list and find the property value, and it would tell you using which tax rate how much your city taxes would be on that property. We also did a comparison of home values and loaning revenue rate between last year and this year. Last year, the average home value was $366,192. The loaning revenue rate is calculated at 0.195823. So property taxes for that average home value would be $770.09 last year. The home average value for this year is calculated at $410,979. And with the calculated monthly revenue rate this year of 0.165262, your property taxes would be $679.19. A small reduction over last year is about $37.09. So funding that's currently in our budget for this next year that are in the general fund includes broadband of $1,113,000, which is not coming out of city's fund balance or something that money is expected to be paid for by grant funds. As far as the general fund services that have capital including in the budget, broadband infrastructure is at $1,113,000. That would be funded with ARPA funds. We also have 7 police vehicles for $358,193. Architectural services for a new fire station, $100,000. principal payment for the fire department's portion of the new radios would be $112,463. The street department has some traffic counting equipment for $12,000, and the street department for $15,000. Also, the city budgets about $100,000 every year for cycling. It's also the South Atlanta shared use bridge on the Uber site for $350,550. The majority of this project will be funded with grants, but this would be the funds that the city would need for this new fiscal year. There's also some equipment, which will be a principal payment for an asphalt patch truck of $42,011. A side delivery room truck for $25,477. At the park, there's the Pioneer restroom repairs of an estimated $30,000. Paver replacement on market plots for $200,000. Some tables and chairs for the Touch House for $15,000. A floor cleaner for $12,000. Working with a sprayer for $84,000 and an infield groomer with groom for $51,600. There's also a workman for market plots for $15,600, a groundsmaster for $36,800, another groundsmaster for $5,900 for $53,200, the parks master plan at $80,000. Scoreboards for $36,000, and each year we update our aerial photos, and that's $100,000. After the public hearing tonight on the proposed budget, City Council approves the proposed tax rate. After the proposed tax rate is set, City Council can approve a tax rate that is the same as or lower than the proposed rate, but not greater than. The City Council proposes a tax rate that's greater than the moving revenue rate. The public hearing will be scheduled for Wednesday, September the 14th at the golf course. And right now our budget calendar shows it at 6 p.m., but we'd like to move that to 1 p.m. The council will approve that. And then this budget and the tax rate are scheduled to be adopted at the September 19th City Council meeting. Adopting the budget and tax rate are two very important actions that the city must take. Thank you for your input.
Mayor, is that working?
No.
Can I see your Mayor, Council, if I could go back to just a couple of slides to add a little bit more detail for you and the public. Can you go back to slide 13, Laura? Okay, this slide, again, this information is included. This presentation is available on our website. If you'd like to take a look at it in a little bit more detail. But what I wanted to point out here is Laura mentioned that the city's portion of the overall property tax equation is 5.4%. So we're talking about the city's tax rate is a very small portion of the overall tax rate. If you could go to slide 18, please. This is a slide we were talking a lot about, have been talking a lot about over the past several weeks. This is always a slide that we refer to when we're talking about minimum revenue tax rate all the way up to voter approval rate. And if you look at that $679,000 that the minimum revenue tax rate generates based on that new $410,000 valuation home. If you look at that same $679, the current tax rate would generate that based on a $347,000 home. Just to give you an idea, it would raise the same amount based on a $347,000 based on that current rate. Slide 19, please.
So again, just as I mentioned here, we have the 366,192 with the current rate applied, which was the average. The 347 would be the same 679. And finally, slide 22. And what I wanted to mention here, if you took out that ARPA funding, we're looking at about $1.47 million on the bottom line here. And that is equipment and capital projects that impact the general fund. There have been some questions in the past about fund balance being applied from the general fund to a lot of the capital. What we're proposing is to cover these costs with the fund balance and not obligate future budget years with fund balance. In other words, when we start really narrowing down, again, when we look at the three things, capital, which includes projects and equipment, when we look at employee pay increases, and we look at new employees, we will have a total dollar amount that will require in property tax to cover those costs. Right now, what we have plugged into the budget is very close to the federal approval rate, with the understanding that we're going to cut a lot of that, out of the budget, whether it's employees that we've talked about, maybe pushing mid-year or pushing completely, whether it's projects that we're going to pull off, reprioritize, whether it is pay increases. We have not established that rate. We'll talk about that just a little bit more here in just a little bit. Those three things, really, we only have so much to work with, just again, depending on what property tax rate the council would like to adopt. So with that, Mayor, that concludes our presentation and additions to that. Council have any questions for me or Laura?
Yes, a question. I don't quite understand. The school board is at 36,000. Jennifer, myself, we're trying to raise the money private. So why is it in the budget if we can raise it?
Again, this is a need that has been identified in the parks budget. Andrea, do you want to come up? Did you get the? It's red.
So $36,000 is for 5 scoreboards. We originally didn't have it in the budget at all, thinking that we were going to try to get the sponsorship and then come back next year. And then something like requested that go ahead and we had it back. But we know we have your sponsorship for the 1 scoreboard, so we can drop it out. So we can, if you want to hold off on that, we can definitely do that. And we don't get the sponsors, then we'll bring it back in the budget next year.
But all of these things are things that we can adjust, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Not in these things that we can talk about and move.
Absolutely.
There are a couple of other things out of question. So each one's about $6,000.
I'll say $500.
Right. Now, one thing that's not on the list that we discussed last time is the research team of the tennis courts at $50,000.
Is that that master plan? Parks master plan.
That has not been included.
Are we going to go like line by line now?
Right now, I'd like to get close here.
Okay. Yeah.
Because what we're going to be doing is discussing these various line items and get the council's view on what you want to leave it in, do you want to take it out, or add something, do you want to adjust. And then we start figuring what that number is going to be tonight, and then a proposal number, and then a tax rate to support it. But this process continues. We're not setting the budget tonight. We're not finalizing the budget. Okay.
So the budget will be finalized and adopted by the council on September 19th. We would actually propose to have at least one more workshop with the council. Again, as we're hearing the comments tonight, as you're digesting that information, as we're talking about, you know, the major expenses that impact the general fund budget, I think it would be very difficult for the council to make any final decisions tonight regarding
any of those three major items final decision. So we're talking in general terms tonight. It takes a lot of calculation once we start pulling these out too to see exactly where we land with respect to that tax rate.
So as we discussed the providing direction for D, that's when we will talk about the specific things and take your comments and preferences on the particular line item that we'd like to see adjusted. All right, let's keep public hearing. Eric Anderson.
Eric Councilman, Eric Anderson, the city, friends of y'all, and speak.
Oh, sorry, I forgot a housekeeping item. We got to, we have to officially go into public hearing. Sorry, need a motion.
I move that we go from regular session to public hearing.
I second that.
Motion second to go from regular session public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Mr. Harrison.
I'm still Eric Harrison. And thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry for the interruption.
Thank you. No problem. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with the wrong way. With the city in such dire financial straits, we must accept ARPA funds. With unknown and undiscernible long-term consequences, our duty and obligation is to eliminate all expenditures if not absolutely necessary. Instead, council priorities include pickleball courts, civilized parks, and broadband, none of which are apparently done by the country. The number one priority should be, I expect to submit, returning all the wealth. The number two priority should be keep at or back from the voters. Yeah. Every line in the vote should be scrutinized to see a year on year increase between 22 and 23. Fortunately, a citizen who will speak later on developed an Excel spreadsheet that shows exactly that data. Increase to accommodate inflation makes sense. It does increase to accommodate promises made to employees and salaries late last year. But the city continued to function in FY22. So the baseline for 22 should be what was spent in 22 plus inflation. Instead, 290 budget lines increased by more than that. 179 of them increased by 25%. 92 by more than 50%, 69 by more than 75%, 59 more than double, and 18 increased by 200%. If we are in such dire financial straits, we have to keep the ARPA funds where our budget lines are going to go. The parent proposed cuts of 8.1 million, the proposed increases of 21.7 million. In fact, the plan to spend $15.5 million. General property maintenance increasing by an unimaginable 234%. 150,000 for City Hall security. Are you putting in a full body scanner? 35,000 to clean exterior City Hall. If we're in such dire financial straits, we must take risks associated with Arkansas by using this. General property maintenance should not apply. In fact, set the maximum amount of budget increases of what was spent. Not the question from 22 plus inflation. In evaluating and prioritize all proposed increases above that amount, five times a time for each department, and determine what cuts are needed elsewhere to offset where the most important increases. That's how we have to do all this. Chris agreed that in the first half of this year, net revenues after increased expenses inflation for more than $2 million over what had been projected. Net revenues probably increased that much in the second half of this year and will probably continue into FY23. All those unanticipated extra net revenues should be set aside in a separate line to pay back the $2.869 million of funds spent, obligated, but still being processed. Once that's our funds return and we finally acknowledge that we are no longer in dire financial straits and need that. Then the balance of those extra revenues is applied to city council's priorities, so long as they are inherently governmental functions, as far as they will go without increasing capital taxes. So we had a little bit longer. House leaders was not in the budget. There's no increase in funding in the budget for the audit that's going to be required to issue the government. There's no increase in the budget for the compliance officers, but we're training them on how to make sure that people aren't violating the age discrimination, aren't violating Title VI, all the other things that are in there. We're going to have folks that are supposed to be allowed to make sure the lights turned off at one time, about two businesses and two nonprofits, and check to see whether or not they're compliant with these federal regulations. We're trying to do that very compliant time. But if you decide you are going to keep those up, you really need to ask the extra things in for the audit that is required by law. But you can't do it yourself, you gotta hire someone.
Mickey Cool.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I think the council and mayor and all the committee to think about running the council as a business as far as the city, the operations of the city, and the different operating business as far as the. What you're proposing is to hire 14 full-time positions and one part-time position. And throw it out, people that work for the city, they always have a little bit lower salary, but they did that in knowing that they had that job for down to their retirement, and they had pension. So they worked at that job for 20 years and then they had their pension. Several city employees that put in their 20 just like you do military service and then retire and go to another job. So city jobs aren't the low paying jobs that they used to be and the stable jobs that they used to be because the CPI that we talked about earlier has increased. And it never slowed down as far as in the private sector when we have recession, which we've had multiple recessions. They slow that down as far as the balance of city positions, pay 100,000, 120,000, 160,000, and more. If we have, it's a damn good job as far as and we don't have an obligation for a year or 2 years, we have an obligation for 20 years, and then pension and follow as far as. So, I really want you to think about hiring somebody, hiring that many people. When we just had two quarters of a downturn in the economy, you know, we really don't know what's coming at us in the future. And then Frank Square, I think, will be fine overall. We'll be better off than most anybody else. But everything that we've experienced, as far as don't assume that it's going up and up and up and up, as far as it is going to pick up, and it's going to cost us money. So I think that we need to think about those dollars and think about everything that we got. And I don't think we want to be tied to those ARPA funds. It scares me to death to think that we have to respond as a business, as a community, to whatever is said in the White House in an executive session or an executive order. And that I have no idea what's going to come out next time. So I'm very concerned. I think the no new taxes, as far as it needs to be, the starting ground on that would be, take the ARPA funds out of it and see what that ending R was. And then I've got to see what we have, available. But I think that the business community and the citizens and everybody else wants to see you operate with us as far as and take into the economic foundation as far as and spend our money like it's been your money. Thank you.
Thank you. Deborah Hobbit.
Hi, I'm Deborah Hubecker. I live in the city. Quote, city governments are responsible for serving the needs of their citizens and providing essential services to the city dwellers. We elect city officials focus on city infrastructure, basic services, and safety concerns. Why are we paying for services outside our city boundaries, aka water and broadband? Funding broadband for 20 plus miles out of the city is not our responsibility or obligation. Funding funding leisure activities like pickleball are not a responsibility for congregation. Funding and building a fence for the Boys and Girls Club is not our responsibility or obligation. City's responsibility duties are to provide essential services only. Nonprofits should never be funded by city revenues. It is a shame we have to use $59,000, a federal grant, to pay a police officer when we generously provide for new or nonprofits. After reviewing all revenues and expenditures, ARPA funds are definitely not needed and should responsibly be returned immediately.
Wesley?
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to financial reasonability, and thank you for opening this forum to public discourse. I understand that it makes civic services to promote the sweet functioning of our cities and small business local, especially coming in and, you know, having to get into that over a few months and really try to understand it all. I get it. With that in mind, I'd like to address what appears to need more careful consideration when it comes to how the city will steer funds from the upcoming fiscal year. When I think of essential services, I think in terms of a hierarchy of needs. That individually, it's cost prohibitive for us to do these things, but as a collective community, we benefit, and that stabilizes our basic needs. The term basic, it inherently just means minimum. Doesn't mean add on extra things to it. It's just for me, when we're talking broadband, which I would love being in the broadband business to, you know, get a piece of that in the future, especially on the maintenance and upkeep, which will certainly be a good considerable spend of money if you're already putting $1.3 million towards that in funds. It'll end up costing more than that long run when you do the upgrades to technology, any kind of maintenance, breaks, fixes. That's going to add up quite a bit. Love it. I think that'd be great from a personal standpoint for the business that operates here and, you know, us maybe being able to capture that. But is that really an essential function? I'm glad to hear that there's an initiative to get the scoreboards privately funded. I understand that there's some payments for those, but is pickleball really something that is meeting a minimum function of government? So the city applied and accepted the ARPA funds last year, and use of these funds are going to expand the government's role, not just one time thing, it's done and it's gone. So I can see the appeal with the $2.8 million influx and how to use that, and it could be used for a good benefit, but broadband being over one half of that, that's a private function. That is not something the government has typically ever been in the business of doing, provide, and maintain privately. Collectively, we do that through our own interests, and that works well. But the logic that seems to miss from that is thinking beyond the next steps, when that's exhausted, and the evergreen expenses, license fee repairs, and the compliance reporting, the NERC product, those are just a few things to mention. And that will cause long-term a need to drive up the taxes higher in order to pay for these things. You're expanding the services of government. That means that we're going to have to pay more taxes at some point to pay for that maintenance, that expansion, okay? So I think it's important that these funds that were derived from ARPA go back, one, because of the additional costs that we are going to incur, two, it expands the government, and three, by doing so, this helps to support another priority, which is to keep the ad valorem taxes low. I think we're all faced with higher gasoline prices, housing, clothes, even eating out as a family. And there's a concern of the rising costs will be faced with the scarcity of other items in the future, things that we haven't even considered in our lifetimes. Costs have noticeably increased in last year, forcing families to cut back in multiple areas of spending. When I look at this proposed budget, I don't see the same level of scrutiny in several instances. If we collectively dig into the details, we not create savings. That excess will protect the interests of the community from yet another cost in either way for take home pay. I'm willing and happy to contribute my free time if I can dig into any of the analysis and help. But like others here, I support efforts to give our workers and volunteers salaries to help that increase cost of living. In some of the prepared analysis, I did factoring out principal interest depreciation and wages. I found about 40 accounts in the administrative fund that showed identical 2023 to 2022 spending, meaning both years had about $1.57 million in identical spending, no change. But the actual expense for some of those accounts, those same accounts, was only $1 million in 2021. So why did that swing up 55% in 2021 to 2022 to 2023? That's a big jump. I'd like to understand that. Another thing, just going small, looking at drainage funds, they more than doubled from 2020 to 2021 rates when you go into 2022. So instead of them increasing that CPI or about 9-10%, just to be happy with the increase there, that's double, 50%, not 9-10. The electric fund on some of the same expense basis accounts that were no different 2022, 2023, are 20% higher in 2021. EMS is about 100,000 higher on the same relative basis. On another comparison, factoring out the earmarked broadband, I compared accounts where year-over-year spending increases were greater than 50% and found planned increase over 2022 by 3.9 million. These same accounts in 2020 had a combined spend of 706,000, 2021, 785,000. So with the few examples that I've provided, it would appear that there's some room for the scrutiny needed. I think it's explainable if we go through the details, but I hope that we can talk more in depth about this in the coming weeks before we get to the finalization point of the 2023 budget. I think it's our responsibility to work together as citizens and as the city to make sure that we're achieving the objectives that need to be met. And I think a lot of people here that contribute a lot of their time to do some research in this process and know that we have done our best in managing the expenses appropriately and cutting out some of the non-essentials. One of the things that I've missed.
Wesley, your comments.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Jerry?
I'm Jerry McCorkle, and I am a citizen of Fredericksburg. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to y'all, and it is your job to make a budget and then make it something that we can afford. And based upon the information that I have, like even in the minutes for tonight there, the present 2023 says it was 91,000, blah, 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 something else. But our new properties are going to generate $121,000 or something in real estate taxes. And that's good. I look up there at that park master plan. We voted to pay an outside firm amount of money to do that. And we've got a parks department here that is very competent. They live here. They know what we need. I don't see why we got to spend money on some outside firm to make us a parks master plan. And so I highly recommend that we don't increase our current tax rate and then we send all the ARPA funds back with all their federal government contingencies attached to them. Thank you.
You're not going to call my name?
Sylvia Hicks.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Well, I also think that a number one priority is to return the ARPA funds. And I think our second priority is to keep our tax rates as low as possible. But it is very curious to me that the monies received by the city through real estate property taxes increased 19% in 2020 over the previous year. Then they dropped to 12% in 2021. The current budget proposal shows city revenues dropping to 0.5%. But that doesn't make any sense to me, especially when taxes are increasing, not decreasing. So I think something's amiss there.
Sandra got it.
I'm saying y'all don't like me. I'm short and I'm sweet. And I just want to say thank you that we have the privilege of coming to a meeting and speaking what is on our minds. That is a privilege that I do not take for granted. Okay. Considering that the ARPA funds are based on the city needs money, I fully understand that. I have scrutinized the budget. I'm not an accountant. I did a pretty good job doing it. And most of it has been said. What? Just three things jumped out to me. One was $25,000 for the affordable housing coordinator. I sat there and I listened to all that repeatedly. And quite frankly, I didn't learn a lot. And then what he said was the economic forces will do more to drive down prices than any government intervention. That sort of resonated with me. The second thing, and I do love parties, so don't get me wrong, but there was $50,000 appropriated for protocol and social parties. I get that. I mean, I really do. And the question is it essential when the freedom of myself, my grandchildren, if we take those funds, will be compromised? Lastly, there was $1.5 million appropriated for post-oak annexation. I simply have a question on that because I don't fully understand it. Is that something that's viable? I'm just putting that out there. And lastly, I just want to say that if we could cut this budget, that would negate having to take those funds, that puts us in the hands of the federal government. I would be very, very grateful. Thank you.
And that Bennett.
I think the number one priority should be to return the ARPA money and do not accept any more funds. I'm not sure if we're going to be commingling ARPA funds coming from the county, but I think that's a very bad idea. Okay. City Council should develop a budget that can be paid for with no new property taxes. In order to achieve this, it may require not funding some items that are already in the budget. I focus primarily on parks, and I think it was Jerry who brought up, I wonder why we just awarded a RFP to Alf and Associates for a comprehensive master plan for parks, yet before the master plan analysis is even done, we're allocating more money for Boys and Girls Club events, the infamous tennis and pickleball courts, and a scoreboard. Now, I understand that Andrew made the point that we may get private funding for that. And I hope so, because certainly a scoreboard should generate revenue, not cost us. My concern over the tennis and pickleball is that it's $1.5 million. And I just don't understand what's so important about that $1.5 million that it could justify accepting $2.8 million in ARPA funding. Am I wrong? You're looking at me with
I just want to make sure I'm factually correct in that.
Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
The 1.5 has been.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? And that's not a consideration.
Yeah.
Which 1.5?
The 1.5 for tennis pickleball. Or, yeah. Right?
That's we have taken that out of the budget for now. As have we the 30,000 for the fence currently.
As the 30,000 for the fence. I just want to make sure I'm right. But while I'm stopping, I won't count against the time.
Well,
I want to make sure I'm correct about your question about commingling. Do you know if the county is using any ARPA for any of our co-funds?
I don't know that.
Okay. We don't know. I will amend my head.
I'll continue as it.
Okay. Now, we just don't know. I won't take it from your time. It's going to be clear. We don't know if the county intends to use ARPA funds for anything that we co-fund. We don't know yet. So, okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'll state my position that if they do, that I'm definitely against it, because my gosh, how, if we decide to return the ARPA money, how would we ever untangle that mess? My question is if we do spend that kind of money on the tennis and pickleball, it just doesn't make any sense. So somehow our priorities seem out of whack. I would encourage City Council to consider a more serious evaluation of the items I've discussed and focus on essential services. Thank you.
Thank you, Ned. Thank you for letting me interrupt you. I just want to make sure I got a fact correct. Carol?
I want to say how nice it is, and everybody's been so nice to each other. It's been a night here at the ski.
I agree.
We haven't had a sweeper or a city yet. Okay. And thank you for a little extra time because I'm southern and I speak slowly. So my question is, and part of it is being answered now, is why is the city budgeting for hubs? The city doesn't fund the Golden Hub, the Need Council, the Grace Center, the Good Samaritan Center, or the Food Pantry because they're not inherently governmental functions. Foundations, grants, donations from families like yours and mine, I'll help with those things. City money is not getting us a riding stable, a polo club, a shooting range, the Fredericksburg Theater, or a bocce ball court, nor does the city subsidize facilities for poker players, knitters, potters, gardeners, musicians, actors, hunters, fishermen, cyclists, chefs, or book club. Book clubs. Because none of these are inherently government. And yet the city is subsidizing with some money the golfers and the tennis players, we'll delete pickleball people for now, by transferring the money from the general funds to the golf course. And even though perhaps just a modest number of Fredericksburg citizens actually use those facilities, the cost of replaced utility vehicles. I know that golf courses are viable businesses here, and I guess it's why are we in the business of having a golf club when it could be privatized or leased to someone to run it and manage it? So if we were to spend that 1.5 on resurfacing the courts and turning some into pickleball courts, such courts could be funded by private-public partnerships, just as the ones for the skateboard park and the basketball courts, the Kiwanis and the Rotary, and individuals pay those costs. Even here with the airport and that little observational area, that was a great thing. Somebody really wanted it and then pays for it. The other thing is Fredericksburg does not manage hotels and motels, so I'm not sure what we're paying for one of the 10 RV parks in town for people who are traveling or maybe want to winter over. The money that visitors spend from those facilities is still be coming in as revenue, whether they stay with the city. We got to buy food, we got to buy gas, we got to go to the doctor, whatever it is. But there again, I think that's something we might consider getting out of the business of doing, because all of the upgrades and the need for replacing things like the bathrooms, if somebody else is running that because they leased it from the city, we end up with not the same kind of liability and not the same expenses. And those wonderful people who work in the parks and recreation who probably get all the problems from that place can do other better things for the city. So if we're in such tough financial circumstances, that we are forced to get ARPA funds. I don't think we should be spending money on extra things that are basically hobbies. 55% of American households have gardening as a hobby. There are 101.6 million hunters in America, 60 million poker players, 53 million knitters, and 52 million fishermen. Figure that one out. And statistically, those hobbies are enjoyed by 2 to 5 times as many Americans as the ones who enjoy golf and tennis. And I'm not knocking golf and tennis, but there are 25.1 million golfers who seem pretty happy, and 21 million tennis players. So I guess I'm just saying, how do you justify spending public money on hobbies for some people when you're not going to take care of the knitters or the fishermen or the people who want a polo club? We used to have that here a long time ago. So please, and this partly is just a plea from me, remove those projected expenditures from FY23 budget. Put that money towards ARPA repayment first. Keep our property taxes as low as possible. But from a personal standpoint, I want to tell you, we've got some of the best city employees I've ever seen anywhere. They're smart, they're efficient, and they're dedicated. So if there are extra monies out there to spend, bring their salaries up to the rate of inflation. You know, I am really serious about that. I love living here. I love the people here. These are so valuable. It's so much harder to recruit and train and replace. Keep those good ones. Thank you.
Thanks, girl. That's very nice. On behalf of the staff.
Can I offer a clarification?
Sure. Mayor, clarification.
Ms. Anderson's given me the opportunity here to brag just a little bit on the golf course. So first of all, there was a loan from the electric department and sanitation to the golf course for the improvements in the 2012 timeframe that's being paid back on an annual basis by the golf course currently to those two funds, $54,000 each one of those funds. The city did lease the golf course out to a management firm, Touchstone Golf, in 2018. We were running about a $700,000 a year deficit. Touchstone, over 3 years now, is making money. In fact, they're making about $200,000 a month now. They have about $500,000 cash in the bank, and they're reinvesting that back into the course. So we've eliminated that deficit, which was a direct general fund budget impact.
And as I understood, it had gone on for quite some time.
It had, yes, ma'am. We built it and they didn't come back in 2012. We suffered that deficit year after year until we finally leased it out. There's some things cities just probably shouldn't be in the business of doing, selling water and running a police department, yes, but not running a golf course. Is that my time?
That's your time. Mary Studer.
So much for this opportunity. So, like what you've been hearing, I do feel that we are definitely at risk. More federal control by keeping the Treasury Department ARPA funds, by not rejecting any more funds. The obligations and penalties in the contract are not in our favor. With many thousands of new and potentially armed IRS agents on the way, you think the Treasury Department is not going to be enforcing their rules? I think they might. The risk involved the whole community and not just the city. And I just would like to say that I don't trust the federal government right now. I think maybe a lot of people in this conservative town don't. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a federal government that I think is doing very irresponsible things, putting us in harm's way. So I'll just say that. So it feels like we've accepted a zero interest loan from a gigantic federal loan shark who makes his money from the huge class of compliance and penalties of non-compliance and pays its powerful person to enforce and the Fredericksburg were more blessed than the most and as many Texas cities. And we should be able to afford our cities expected, including inflation, without having to rely on these funds. I ask the city to consider and do its own assessment of what it would need to manage without the ARPA funds. But I'd like us to be better than that. I think the public needs to know what the city's risk assessment is and its rationale if the ARPA money is kept and well received. We may have lost count of how many times and for how many months we, many, and the public have spoken against this action. But I don't know how much public outcry there has been with rationale that supports taking these risks. I haven't heard much of that. So I think that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Eric. Edit the campus.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Edith McCandless, I'm from the Hill. This afternoon, we've learned that the city received millions of dollars in unexpected extra net revenue during fiscal year 2022, and will receive an equal amount or more in unexpected net revenue during fiscal year 2023. We've seen how the city is planning to spend millions of dollars on things that are not inherent in governmental budgets. We've also seen how more than 200 lines in the proposed budget have been increased by more than the rate of inflation, with some going up by 100%, 200% or more. If Fredericksburg is in such a tough budgetary situation that you are forced to accept the ARPA funds to balance out with all the known and anticipated restrictions and conditions they include, then surely there would be no justification for those astronomical increases in budget limits. The citizens of Fredericksburg implore you to set the baseline for the fiscal year 2023 budget in every line of every department that what was actually spent, not budgeted, in fiscal year 2022 plus inflation. The city did not stop functioning at the budget rate used in fiscal year 2022, and it won't stop functioning if you keep your expenditures at that level plus inflation. Any increase above that baseline should have to be justified, and those increases should be offset by cuts elsewhere in the budget. Strip out all the budget lines going to pay for things that are not inherently governmental budgets. Use the millions of dollars saved when you stop paying for things like broadband or pickleball to escorts or the golf course, along with the unexpected extra net revenue to, first of all, pay back part of the money, and then secondly, keep fiscal year 2023 taxes at the minimum revenue rate. After you pay back the money, so ensure taxes won't rise, then feel free to use whatever funds are left on targeted, high-priority, inherently governmental functions, like improving salaries and benefits for police, fire, EMS, and other city employees, paving roads, fixing sewer lines, and increasing the size of the trash can. This is what makes common sense, and this is what we as citizens of Fredericksburg expect from our elected government officials, especially in fiscally uncertain times such as these.
This is a yes or no question or a just a quick answer. I prefer not to get into discussion. I've heard several times inherent government function, inherently appropriate government functions. Are you all coming off of a list, you know, from somewhere? Okay, thank you. You're up. Thank you for being well-prepared for remarks tonight. That was, I appreciate that. I know we all do. We'll get back to you. All right. Item 4D. Oh,
go back to the regular session.
I move to go back into regular session.
Second. A motion second to go from public hearing back into regular session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, now we're 4D, review, discuss, and provide direction. I haven't heard much from that side of the table tonight. Would y'all like to start with any opening comments about that? Review of the budget as presented at this point.
I thought to ask Eric a question about the broadband 20 mile question. Could you address that?
The broadband linear count will be a little over 25 miles, and it is 100% inside the city limits on city owned.
So it's 25 miles of cable, but it's all within the city limits. Correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about, so okay. It'd be helpful if we kind of would go department by department, or
is that what you'd like to do, department by department? Okay. Yeah, dig right in without any general speeches.
I mean, just how are we going to organize our comments? Because it's going to be ping pong if we're like parks, electrical, trash.
Well,
you know, how are we going to do it?
I was thinking about what's at the top. What's at the top of your mind about the things that are in play? Like we've already said that 1.5. The thing for the, what was it?
Parks.
It was parks, prudence, right? It was kind of catch all, which included tennis and pickleball, right? And that 1.5 as a capital improvement proposal was removed.
It went to 120,000, is that right?
Went to 120 for tech. So 200.
Okay.
So it was basically maintenance, resurfacing,
right,
and new lights.
Just some high level thoughts. I think looking at the capital improvements plan and how it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is $330 million over 20 years of projects. Is that ballpark? So there have been many years that we have not been addressing a lot of the infrastructure needs. And so we're faced with clay water pipes that are very small, that are disintegrating. So we're needing to play some catch up. And so we are drawing down on the fund balance. I am grateful that we have the 3 months fund balance, or I'm sorry, 3 months operating expenses held back. And then we have a little more. That's something just on my mind, since we do get so much of our funding from sales tax and our property taxes are able to be lower, how that might impact in case there is some big, you know, dinosaurs come back sort of thing. This is something I'm careful to protect some of that fund balance. And then also it was great to see, thank you, Lauren, for the information on the frozen tax rates. I mean, a lot of people in our community have frozen property taxes. And so that places a burden, if you will, on us younger folks who are under 65 who don't have that privilege. So that's just something to be aware of as we're looking at all this. And it's helpful to see the chart with how much it actually does impact. For us around the middle, it's not as scary as I would have thought,
going
up and down, even though we are kind of carrying the water for
900,000.
No, I'm talking about like individually at the house. My house. It's not as big of a jump. But those are some of the things going around in my mind, but I'll go into more detail later.
That's a question about the new funding for general fund services. And I'm sorry if we talked about this before. There's so many meetings, so many workshops, so much data. On this slide, new fire, the principal payment for the radios. Remind me again, I know that it's, we're paying half of it. So there's 112,463 services wise.
Okay. The total cost for the radio system is $3,099,000. This is a shared expense between the city and the county. Unofficially, I think the county is going to pay for exactly that. We have, in this particular number, applied $424,800 of unallocated ARPA funding to our half, and then divided that number between fire and EMS and financed it over a 5-year period to arrive at that 112,463. So it's 112,463 for in fire and EMS for 5 years. Without the 425 added in there, I believe that number is around 146, 147. But that's what that is.
Without ARPA.
Right. Okay. So it's half the.
That number becomes 146.
It's half the 3 million, right? Divided into financial values.
But you actually need to do a math
problem. I'll do it for you. So that's it. So for 5, we have that impact 5 years in the budget.
So 146 times 5.
Yes, sir. Times 2.
That's 2. Okay. All right. Did you have a problem?
I thought we took that. Well, that's right. I mentioned it in the email that the architectural services for the fire station be taken out because number one, the county has repeatedly told us they won't support it. So why do we have it in there?
Is that half the cost for the architecture? Like, are they doing half?
$100,000. Is that half the cost?
That's the full cost. It's the $100,000. Right. And what that gets us basically is a conceptual plan to move forward with a potential bond election, future bond election. Maybe 30% land set. Again, it's, you know, the location is conceptual at this point. The building itself would be just very conceptual in nature.
I think it's premature.
Would y'all want to go ahead for the architectural services even without county commitment or wait? Or what you feeling?
I would want to go ahead with it. It's a necessary service. I mean, it's about as necessary as you get. We know we're cramped where we are now. We've got to do something. So why don't we get the architectural services and then try to pull the county in? We know they're going to pay for half of something.
Not the way they sound. My point being is we do some plans, and if we get this 5 years down the road, then we're going to have to do plans again. So,
where's it 5 years?
Whatever. Could be 3 years, it could be 4 years.
At the county's appetite to pony up high.
There's two concerns the county had to feel, I would call the joint ownership of the facility itself, and then the cost for operating it, the revenues that it would take on their side to help operate the facility. So those are the two concerns. Now, we have been talking about a number of different things, emergency service districts. We've been talking about, and more specifically, in a county assistance district that they're, Emily attended that meeting. Sounds very promising in terms of generating revenue to run a facility like that. But I think we can get past the joint ownership issue. The LEC is joint ownership with the city and county, for instance. So I'm not sure that would be an issue in the future. But again, you know, the need is there, but these things do take many years to plan and execute.
And that's what I'm saying. The need is there. That we know there's a need now, so we need to take a step to move it down the road. If there's a different step, that would be fine with me. But just putting it, just sidelining it, because we don't want, because the county doesn't want to pay for the architectural services, doesn't work for me. Because how do we move forward?
Right. And if you'll recall, we did have $350,000 plugged in the budget previously for the purchase of property on the east side of town, and we could not find a suitable piece of property in that 4 to 5 acre range at that price and in a location, again, that was suitable for decreased response times, especially to the east. When you're talking about the 290 corridor, you're talking about land that is, you know, valued on the square foot by square foot basis, $5 to $10 per square foot.
We're just doing the architectural services in the hope that they will participate in the construction.
I personally feel like we should keep it in the budget. This, things like this do take time, and we need to be planning for it now. It's a service that we actually need now, because as we've seen in the reports from fire and EMS, the growth is east, and our response times are getting longer and longer. And if we keep putting it off, we're not doing our job. And so I feel like we need to continue to negotiate and talk with the county, but go ahead and put it in the budget.
When you mentioned it before, Tony, I was thinking that it was the purchase of the land or the purchase of the process of construction or whatever. I think architecture service is a good buy right now. Do you have an opinion?
I think it's a good placeholder, and we'll see what conversations we might be able to have in the next year. And maybe we'll have more certainty, but I think it's a good act of good faith towards what we need to do.
I do realize that if you change locations, you will change architectural process.
Potentially. Weren't they talking about some modular stuff that would be, I don't remember exactly.
So it's specific.
The training.
Oh, that's not an absolute.
It would be called
change it. We're not going to move it from a flat piece of land to something on the side of the hill.
Well, as Clinton said, this is predominantly conceptual. 30% of the design will be done. So there's still going to be plenty of time to change things.
Clinton also said it would be we would need it in order to apply to start a bond process, right? Did I hear you say that?
It wouldn't absolutely be needed, but in order to do cost estimating for the project, similar to what we're doing for the new police station and municipal court. The cost estimating, the materials that we would push out into the public for support of a potential bond election would all be part of what they would develop. Wanted to also mention that we did have the training component that was more site specific. The training associated with the University Center activities there on campus. So that would be one item that may change if we were to move it some distance further out of town.
So Tony's correct. It would be some site-specific component of that design.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. Because of the training there, you see.
Right. That particular piece. Yes, sir.
But I don't think we're designing this so far along that we couldn't make those changes.
Okay. Sidewalks have been done every year, is that right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good work progress.
Gary, how long have we been doing that now?
2013 or 2014.
At about that rate.
Okay. The consensus is leaving it. So, Garrett, the bridge, UFA bridge, the 350,000. I'm making you repeat yourself. I'm sorry. Most of this is paid for by some money.
Yes, sir. So,
I believe there's 902,000 in grant funding coming from TxDOT. There's also a $100,000 contribution from an adjacent developer that will go towards this project. We're continuing to talk to TxDOT about additional funding because of some potential cost overruns. Again, I mentioned that those costs were determined back in 2019. And then we're continuing to meet with adjacent developers to see if they want to partner.
So the total project is somewhere 1.4?
Yes, sir. Between 1.4 and 1.5. Okay.
So this is a real number. That's what I was asking.
Yes. So there was 150,000 in this year's budget for design purposes. And then this will hopefully get us through construction.
Oh.
This is a walking bridge that connects South Lano to Uther.
Yeah, so it actually extends.
Not from, a driving bridge.
Correct. It's non-vehicular, so bicycles, skateboards, walkers. It will extend actually from San Antonio Street down to the First Street and then around to the recycling center. A major component of course is the bridge.
It's a bridge and sidewalks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about a workman's square or into a room. Are those other things?
The employees.
That I'm assuming.
That when they went over each one of these one by one.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. Well, when I say I don't know, I mean I'm assuming that they need to be bought now because the lead time of what how long it takes to get them. And,
that's all equipment.
Okay. All right. I don't need to go over that. Right. Sharon.
It's not, I did not. I mean, so if the employees have been so generous with their time and their information. I just.
I'll shut up. Except scoreboards. What do I think about that?
First,
here's the thing about scoreboards. I know that there's some discussion about inherent functions and so forth. But in my view, there is something important about providing nice looking fields for our community. However, I do think that a private partnership or trying to get more people to participate in that way. When I was a kid, we always had Arrowhead Bank sponsor. You
know, well, Rainbow Beast has sponsored the ones that were in it. And I think we're trying to contact them with the new ones. Because they've kind of worn out.
Yes, Tim expressed some interest in possibly doing one. Airport Bank has expressed, and we put some public information out, press releases, trying to get some information. The link to purchase people has just been very slow.
Okay.
We can, if you want to take that out of the budget this year, we can work over the next 6 to 9 months to see if we can our sponsors can rest.
Well, I think I might prefer to skip the budget and then see if we can get it forward. But I mean, we know we got 2.4 rounds. Well, we know we have one. That's one.
That's it.
3 months. I'm pretty sure that dog's a kid.
It's called.
Kevin said it. I'm
just saying, if we get the word out, there might be some people who would do that.
Andrea, how long have these scoreboards been?
A long time. One of the scoreboards has not worked since I've been here.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here almost 7 years.
Okay.
The so other two, the one right here. That here at the park. Yeah, they
yeah, all show us the same here. And this is a perfect example, especially with the parks department. Every year the parks department comes to us, we have these needs. The first thing we cut out of the budget is parks. And we have a growing number of young people in our community that need good fields. They're going to play on a ball field that has a scoreboard. Scoreboard should work. So I didn't realize until 6-7 months ago when somebody came to me and said, we haven't had a scoreboard for years. And that's wrong in my field. So that's, Andrea had taken it out of the budget. I asked her to put it back in the budget. We can't afford $36,000 for scoreboards. If we can't find it from
we could get private sponsors.
That's great. I would rather see us leave it in the budget if we don't use the money. It would rather.
Oh, if the thing's bought, then money.
Yeah.
An effort is strong, already undertaken to get private funding.
And if you look on my priorities this year, parks is one of them, because for years and years and years prior to me coming on the council, we've neglected our parks. And they got to the point where they were almost an eyesore. And for a town like Fredericksburg, we should have good parks. So I'm sorry, I'm on the grandstand here, but.
Are you happy with the budget, the park's
yes.
budget otherwise?
I am. Okay. Thank you.
Do you want to go by council? Sorry, the general fund?
Sure.
Okay. General fund. Comments.
Thank you.
On the Convention and Visitors Bureau, IT services reimbursement and the maintenance reimbursement, are those allowable to, can someone speak to those? Do they actually reimburse? Because IT is, but then maintenance is not. Is that a hot reason why we can't?
I can explain that. So last year, we sat down with administration from the CBB and came up with a calculation based off of how many service hours that we
pull that off of there. So you just pull it off. What page?
Five.
And we came up with about $36,000. And so that is for all the time that we spend there on a yearly basis. And then they also do get billed out for licensing and stuff like that as well, like email licensing and anything that's computer related or licensing. But as far as our time that we spend out there, that's when $36,000 comes back. It gets billed to them for.
Okay.
So the answer is yes.
Thank you. Just noting that the RV camping provides $780,000 in revenue to cover.
$780,000.
If it's budgeted for camping.
So what did I do? Yeah,
a little bit down from last year.
Just wait.
Is the staff COLA and merit increase in the budget now?
There's a 5%.
3 and 2, okay.
3 and 2, yes, ma'am.
And then to get us up current on the salary survey, ballpark, we don't have that yet, but.
We do have some information that we can provide to the council today.
Yeah, it's good.
Basically, can you hand that out? Did you bring that with us? Did you bring that with
you?
You
have that? This shows the increase per percent. Last time we asked her to give us that, what it would mean to go up to 6, which was what?
I have a preliminary version of it that has been revised that I've given to the mayor, which will get us pretty close. But basically what we did from last time is we took for a 1% increase, we took both the general fund impact and the each enterprise fund, and we show the impact for each 1%. Increase, and it's basically about $175,000 impact total
per percent.
That's not, yeah.
Here we go. We've got comments right here, right. But for getting police, fire, and EMS back on the step plan, we had calculated $443,000.
are still working on that, just to firm up the numbers. I have the department heads reviewing the numbers. We could say half a million to get us where we are supposed to be
right,
for fire and EMS.
So roughly half a million, correct. And you know, we've certainly understand the issue. We've talked to Chief Warhauer about some give and take in the budget. He had mentioned last time to the council about potentially giving up an officer, which means giving up some of that equipment, going from 7 to 6 vehicles and some of the other equipment that I'm not speaking for you, but I'm trying to remember what you said exactly. So we could potentially see a savings there. We can also look at a 2-year implementation, for instance. We've even talked about if the council were looking at, say, a 7% increase across the board or something like that, where would that get us in that step plan with PD? So again, we're looking at it, but we wanted to just provide a little bit of additional information to the council at this point.
Why are we talking about less than what G4-hour export?
So, well, the first number that we talked about was 443. That is what it costs. And it's not just police, it's fire and EMS as well.
Did I misunderstand? You said so we calculated with one less officer than he asked for and all that less equipment?
Is right. In order to compensate for that increase and the general fund impact, we had talked about eliminating one of those three officers that. 4 hour equipment along with the vehicle and some of the other equipment. Again, just to compensate for that $443,000 increase. Just as an option.
What do y'all think about doing the $443,000 over 2 years and keeping all three officers?
Keeping
all three of the new police officers.
Total cost with the vehicle and the equipment.
So I feel like that is more pressing.
I would like that more than eliminating the position.
Yeah.
Do you know off the top of your head the cost for the equipment for an additional officer? If we eliminated one, what would be the total savings?
Adding one additional officer, total cost, payroll, vehicle, equipment, uniform is roughly $160,000.
Okay.
A year.
160.
A year. To add one brand new position, it's roughly $160,000. I've been working with finance department, they've been crunching numbers. Sending it to me, and I've been messing up their numbers and sending it back. So
we're having 480, 443.
I just want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to short shoot. That's about 150,000.
That I think funding maybe these fire and EMS halfway funding this year, halfway into money next year doesn't get us out of the problem that we have right now. With promoting individuals into positions without jumping over current individuals. So like the sergeants, for example, I couldn't promote the last one to where they should be because they jump over 3 sergeants. And I can't go to corporals next year because then they'd be making more 30 sergeants. So just food for thought. It would, instead of fixing it now, it would cause 2 more years of problems for inspiring EMS in making those movements inside of the departments that we need.
My
fair energy.
That's very good. Okay. Laura, do you remember how much the salary survey cost that we did?
Yeah, that thing.
We just did an update. It wasn't a full salary survey, so just the update was 18,000.
Okay. Is that, did the step plan come out of that update? Okay. My concern is if we go through the process of the salary survey to get everybody current and we offer competitive wages with everybody in our area, if we don't follow it, then we just wasted the money. And it when the police and fire decided to go with a step plan, it creates a problem if we don't follow it because of the current wages versus the proposed wages. So I would almost prefer not having an additional officer if we can go with, get everybody up to speed on the step plan.
Now, I will mention, since we did implement the salary survey, we went from needing 8 officers to being fully staffed because we are competitive with that wage. So getting to that point initially is what really helped us with that.
My question is, why is there a choice between implementing the step plan and giving up one officer? Why can't we do both?
Go with it. That's
if you want to talk about an essential service, that's it.
I would prefer to do that, but if the appetite is to do one or the other, I'd rather give up the one officer and go with the step plan.
I agree with you.
I'd rather do that. If we have to cut, and some place has to cut, but not there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe $100,000.
Just circling back around.
Got you. One of my deals was security, which I talked to Brian Emerson. So I still keep hearing complaints about we need more people on Main Street, weekends. So, not going to do it by paying more money.
Was your suggestion in the interest?
I'm just curious, but I say we go forward with those priorities. And
all right. Fire.
Do you have a question? He was leaving.
No.
He was asking if we had.
Yeah, good with us there. Yeah. That's great.
Just a quick comment on the street. The sidewalk, $100,000 that we've had for a long time. We've added to our sidewalk system in various neighborhoods, and every year we identify neighborhoods. And we've also done a lot of repairs on Main Street that have been needed for years, which are potential hazards for tourists and residents alike.
So that's been the same number for a while.
Yeah,
it's still working.
Yes.
And with the comprehensive plan, we'll have an opportunity to revise the sidewalk plan and also the grass plan. So that may change just a little bit to add to some priority areas.
Can you speak a little bit about why we're paying for the Parks Master Plan and the importance there, where it wasn't included initially?
Sure. As part of the comprehensive planning effort, it will, first of all, be lower cost to have that done versus a standalone. And it, as our consultants did mention last time, last council meeting, you know, just the public involvement and input that we will have through the comprehensive planning process, we'll get a lot of better input, we feel, into that Parks Master Planning effort. So it's a real good fit. You know, it's pretty much 50-50 probably that those are included or not, just depending on the community. But it's honestly a really good opportunity that we didn't anticipate just right off of that. But I think it'll end up being a much better plan.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but the new plan might not propose new parks, but it could very well propose changes to our current parks, which will make them better parks without having to purchase new land for parks.
That's absolutely correct. I don't know what happened here.
There you go.
That's absolutely correct. And I can remember about 6 or 7 years ago, Mayor Longhans mentioned that Lady Bird Park is a clean slate. There hasn't been anything major done out here It's come out of the master plan a long time. So all of this behind you would be part of that, part of an opportunity to upgrade our existing park, right? Minus the pool.
Also, since the Path of the Future has been mentioned quite a bit, parks is pretty prominent in what the community said. We'd like you to take a look at this and make the community have more opportunity to vote.
On page 24, Fort Martin Scott maintenance, I think that was adjusted from 170 to 42, right?
No, because 170 came out of the tourism fund.
Nothing fund. Okay, that's where it is. Okay.
Anything else on parks? You happy with that level of focus, Bobby?
Yes, thank you.
Development services? We have one? Sorry.
Why did you just like
blocking?
Oh, sorry.
Paul Garrett actually has five different titles. So
it's a pretty short question.
It's about expensive area.
Yeah.
Does the wages, planning, and building, does that include 12 months with the director? Public, I mean, development services.
Krista is shaking her head, yes.
Okay.
So we are beginning the interview process this week, hope to make an offer and probably build that position by October 1st.
Oh, okay. So that's about high.
I'll be sending a follow up email with kind of the plan in the next 2 weeks.
Good.
Yeah. Computer software maintenance is higher, and that's grant based, right? Under development services? Or is that somewhere else?
Yeah, so we're adding two additional pieces of software this year that we have not had prior to that. So now I know that we had some costs that were more with Avenue that had a higher increase. My Permit Now is something that we've had in the budget for years, but we did not, until we started implementing it, we didn't need to, we never had to have that cost. So that is also a first time this year. And then the Granicus, I believe is 50, 54, yeah.
That's in this.
Yes, sir.
That's the annual
thing. Yes, that's an annual fee. The hope would be that would be paid with us for a permit fee.
Yeah, right? Supplement.
Yes, sir.
And Eric, all the software we discussed in a previous meeting, all those different new software, those are all in the budget. So.
Yes, from my understanding, it's correct.
And we lowered the historic building maintenance from 40 to 30,000 this year.
Yes, again, Anna, just based that on kind of the last couple of years, the application we received, Sharon had mentioned to support, I think, pulling it back to 40.
It's okay. I'm okay at 30. Just so it's there. Yeah, because we break people in for demolition by neglect, and then we file a lien against it, and then we say, okay, somebody go fix it, and that's how this line item got on here. There wasn't any money to fix it. So if you don't file a lien on somebody for demolition by neglect and you don't use it, then Anna's been using it as a grant for someone who there was an older couple that couldn't paint their house, and so it was used to provide them with painting for the house.
Do you feel like 30 is okay?
I like 40 better, of course, you know, because that's my historical view is my baby.
Okay. It's pretty bad when we started. Okay. All right. We'll leave that third. Well, we'll leave it third.
Anything else on development? Health? That includes the new position.
Yes, sir. We're asking the same question every time.
Municipal court?
Wait, I'm sorry, back to health. I got this clarified, so I'm making sure everyone knows. We are only paying for city utilities. We're not paying rent to the county for the office space since they're now in the county.
This is court.
Does this have the remodel of the new space in it?
No, it does not. I was going to mention that we were trying to narrow down here at the UNCFA.
Yes, sir. We actually know another contractor today. I would anticipate having some kind of ballpark numbers within the week. We're trying to get them as much information as possible. This is what's called job order contracting. So it's contracted unit rates for different services they provide. And so we asked kind of timeline. What would we be looking at? They said, really, they should be able to get started in a weeks once patient opens up. So there's not a long lead time in this group that we're looking at working with. So as soon as we get to the update numbers, I'll talk about it as well.
Do we have some money in the current budget to apply towards it?
I'm going to straight forward here. It's
not my budget.
We do have a little bit more in the general fund reserve that could apply to this, certainly, but we have not identified that specifically at this point.
It'd be great not to delay it.
The first bid was 800, so we think we could do better.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So that will be, if we find that the Cracker Jack remodel ready to pull the trigger, then we're likely to pull that from general fund reserve. Yes.
Okay. Engineer.
Okay. All right. Do you want to go through the enterprise fund section? Built in a 9.5% rate decrease?
That's correct.
It is built in.
Yes.
Okay.
So these are all the most recent numbers. We've seen these before.
Probably come on social media, like Facebook,
like the drawing lights,
the big one. Protocol on social and electric. What's the big item? Christmas?
What?
Something?
The staff has already gone through this.
There's a question. There's a question about the 1.5 million for the post up utility improvements. Chris needs to see that.
That one is a structural cost estimate to expand the water center so we must serve that answer. That design doesn't make the city have a big idea, but that's just an
So again, impact fees, pay new development, those services will help support future development.
What was that question? Did they leave? Was it Edith?
Sandra McDonald.
The Post Oak Road annexation, that in my understanding, we'll get that money back to things.
That's what we're talking about.
It's not an annexation. It's a.
I think it's a great service
center. It's utilities to the annexation.
Right. It's extending. So apparently, the so it's an extension of those utilities. But the fund we're using is impact fees, which is paid for as homes or businesses are put in. Because they're impacted on the township system. That's how that question is. Not through the capital, not through ratepayers' payments or insurance.
Oh. Water. Paul?
We paid it off for $5,000 a month, and we've paid them an incentive for year-over-year performance that's typically in that range. So that's for sure.
That's it.
Any other
questions?
They have good food if you want to go for
water. Yes, yeah. I have that, which is an issue.
Real good food.
Sanitation.
New fees. Are we just incorporating new fees? No, that could be adjusted.
Correct. This is based on the current fee structure. So if you look on page 72, line item 16.1. Noted the sum and feasibility study. So as part of that, we're depending on three different things. It will be a rate structure review, a feasibility study relating to the long-term plan, and then also the design and development of some of the plan.
Thank you.
Well, design and construction of the new The estimated cost of that is $1.32 million. I think the liner itself costs a lot.
One time, that's what I heard.
Mayor, can I make an announcement about the water conversion bridge to our visitors?
Okay, it's just starting to make its way over with the rain that we're having now. I'm just looking at the radar, it doesn't look like we're going to have a lot more than what's coming over, but for those that they might not be able to make it across maybe 3 or 4 inches of water.
What about sleeping bags for all of us?
Oh, it's well,
sleep
right
either way.
There is good food.
On the flip side of the on the other hand, even if it does get up on it, we can get you across if you don't mind leaving your vehicle and I'll personally drive you.
So we can always go out to my
it might get stuck.
That sounds worse.
Yeah, that gets real mud. Okay. Well, thanks for picking this up because I'm not going to spend the night. What is it, 6 weeks ago we were moaning about no rain, stage three?
That was Chris.
Welcome to Texas. All right, we're ready. Sanitation?
Yes.
And current fees. This is based on current fees. I'm sorry, was there a rate increase in the works? Is that what?
We'll be doing a rate study.
Okay, yeah.
So it's probably in your budget.
Okay,
so nothing in the taxes.
Yes.
Yeah. EMS fund?
So, one quick question. On the recycling revenues, is this just the recycling center?
We also have a metal recycling bin at the landfill.
Okay.
How much does the recycling center at Lincoln Street generate?
I think that's 70,000. I would estimate around 45 to 50 thousand. Of course, the center itself operates as a deficit of our own tax.
So, what is the overall deficit? I know it's fluctuated.
It's only recently.
Yeah. So that's likely to go up. But
anything else about fire?
Oh, tourism. Okay, this is Emily. This is where the what was that?
41,000.
Okay, good. Yeah. The 170
was in that.
Yeah, it was not here. What? What?
About 41,000.
Okay. Anyway, that's
what?
Just curious, because this is going to be year two of that 2022. We have
this is the end of year one.
Right. Right. So looking at 2022, we would see the 170, right?
No, because we're leaving because we're still the next.
I'm looking at like the historical.
It started with the first year.
Oh, I see. The plan.
Yeah.
Just to show.
Here it is. Okay. Account 3141. There's FMS manager.
There it is. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. We're. Yeah. There's zeroed out.
Okay.
No, I mean,
when
you contact.
It's September 30th.
Oh, I thought it was November. Oh, gotcha.
Somewhere.
Short.
Short. This year.
Short. Probably not. I would recommend it not appropriate. Okay, anything else about the hotel? I mean, that's the drainage.
One comment I did mention increase in the drainage fund. That's being used to the funding for the North Atlanta Storm Sewer Project. That's a project that's received grant funding from the Texas Water Development Board. So the line 5159 on page 88, they're making $2,000. Those are design construction and administration fees that will be completed in this year. The total, I guess, 2.21 million in construction costs, we will work for a percent interest for up to 30 years of our development work. So, how we anticipate funding that in future fiscal years, they trade in revenue line. Working again, where you want to be. So I would anticipate presenting that to council within the next month or so.
Yeah.
You see that as the opportunity project that in the highest rank from the journey. Originally, it cost like $14 million. This is more of a phased approach to driving just a major concern.
I had a question status of the Rondo.
Texas Park Wildlife has a major staffing issues. So all they've been doing is coming out and looking at areas that have we just spoke to one of the representatives for Healthy Creeks Initiative, is what they're calling that. They are back in this area. Yes, surveying areas with the intent to come and treat additional areas. They did say a contribution from the city would go a long way. So I believe basically donated to Texas Parks and Wildlife. Yes, I mean,
grass.
And you don't get rid of
by cutting.
Oh, I'm on committee. This is city liaison. Yeah. I think we need to take a look at the event after this year. Pray for good weather and just see how. Yes.
Is the general thinking that for the effort, it ought to produce more?
It's the city.
I don't know that.
Do we want?
Yeah.
It's going to be city.
This is the control right here, the budget.
Right. Anyway, I think it needs to be reviewed from top to bottom.
I agree. There needs to be some objectives.
Yes.
So, we do ad hoc committee to do that. Or?
You want to?
I mentioned Julie. Yeah. In the EDC, board meeting, we were talking about wineries, and I asked one of the wineries why they weren't participating in the Food and Wine Festival, and she stated she doesn't think it would be wine industry that we have, so they chose not to participate.
That's why I asked the question the other day about the quality of the wine. But
that's not what I heard in the wine. And I asked that person the same question about it, the 87 permits that down. Who on that list are quality wineries? She named off about a dozen of those weren't involved.
It's not a Fredericksburg centric, like you don't have to be in Fredericksburg or even Gillespie County. So to me, it's a misnomer. If I were going to the Fredericksburg Food and Wine Fest, it would be to drink Fredericksburg wine.
I agree.
Well, back there when it started, we didn't have it.
Definitely needs a revision.
Yeah, and it does only allow Texas wines, so which is fine.
Who's
going to
renegotiate?
Well,
Garrett?
That would be.
Garrett's
going
to add that to
your list. I'd be happy to work with that.
You're off the hook.
We're creative.
Okay.
We've got
it. Good.
Bobby's back up. Committee meetings. Anything else about the market square? Emergency management. Anything on that? Okay. Yes, anything? Police forfeiture monster.
There's some previous money in there. That's what I read in the thing, the police forfeitures that covered about some other. Right? It's no, it's just, oh, it's always, I don't know. It's not thousands.
That's, yeah.
Animal shelter. How much? I don't know, right? There's a fund for the animal shelter.
That's
right. We're 200,000, I believe.
200? 600.
Wow. So love their animals.
So we have the money
of best and
ticket.
Yeah, I know. Okay, great.
It's the animal shelter. It's just
what?
It's the animal.
Animal
control. Sorry.
Animal control. Sorry, please. Parks and Rec special fund.
Oh, I guess. I'm under 11 verses.
Comment about the huge increase in revenue.
100,000.
No, we're talking.
So 100,000.
$100,000
of it is
the transfer. Oh, the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank
you. Would this be a place to talk about fees for use lots?
You said,
yeah. Fees for using market lots.
Have they been renewed?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Is Jennifer's not here, she doesn't have the exact numbers, but it's, you know, $150,000 a year. You have PD, public works,
health.
She says health, right?
It's a loss of air for sure.
Yeah, so
well, close for diving,
yeah. So, again, when we talk about it,
but maybe see, maybe per person, what that would look like. We could have a percentage or
those monster.
It's one of the big ones.
Right.
It costs a whole lot to help.
Some of their bigger events that she had to city council. If we know about how many people they have, we can just come up with that number internally. We're going to have 40,000 people in the last 10 years, but the number on that, that's just being paid.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think enforcement, I don't want to create that.
Right.
But you use the same concept, but kind of
office festivals or any other paying events.
Right. So they adjust their fee to compensate for that based on the numbers. And when we looked at this, we actually proposed something council ago, you know, very small, $2 or something like that. But you know, when we're talking about 50,000 people in an event like Oktoberfest, even if you raised it $10 probably, you're looking at a significant amount of revenue generated, $500,000, you know, considering 614,000 in capital projects and parks, we could fund all those projects out of that. And again, pretty of those people is below their it's fee in our opinion.
And there's so many people, and it's like we got to replace the grass.
Right.
I mean, it's such
it's expensive.
A heavy.
We do.
Cover.
It's like
close to cover. No, I know, but if you say think that, I don't know what it is.
It's $10,000 grant. A couple years, I think this year it's going to be more like $5,000 or $6,000.
You like it? From the Oktoberfest?
From PCA.
Okay. Would you like some sort of reviewing that the piece of art in the future agenda?
I would.
Yes.
Okay. Right. We'll do it. I like that too. You don't remember our number because Emily recommended.
Yeah.
We have to do that. And then get the ball. Echo and
Dr. Harrison mentioned for the audit funds. There's audit in almost every one of these, and I asked the right question to the right person.
It is our auditors are,
and so it just.
I have a lawyer about that contract.
Oh, great. We'd love to see that.
Yeah, you will.
Thank you.
All right. Through the line.
Yeah.
Oh, about a tax problem.
Sorry.
No, I'm just moving on.
Okay.
So, we announced the proposed late time location, which is here. What's that? Yeah. For the record.
What you need to vote on tonight is we need the proposed tax, and if that's above the no new revenue rate, then we will have to schedule a public hearing. So we would recommend on when to have that public hearing. We have it tentatively on our schedule for the 14th here at the golf course. The budget calendar is showing at 6 p.m., but we would like to move that to 1 p.m. with your permission.
Change from 6 to 1 p.m. Standing because we're done. I know we got a big deal next, but I'm just standing. September the 19th.
14th. That would be a public hearing on the tax increase.
Right. Wouldn't be able.
She's talking about the budget.
Depending on what the council sets as your proposed rate, yeah, we have a certain threshold, you have to have a public hearing. If you don't see that threshold, you won't have to have a
right. Right. So we're talking about the, as Daniel mentioned, the public hearing on the tax increase if we go above the no new revenue
tonight. Do you think above no new revenue public hearing?
Do we have any need for the rest of the staff that's just talking about the factory?
No. This one.
If y'all would like to depart, you might. We can talk about the factory.
Thank you. As always. And if I need a big vehicle, I'm going to call one of you, just FYI. No, I'm talking big one time.
Is it that bad?
It's not that bad.
People are crossing.
Yeah, it's the steep.
Yeah. I'll push the steep across.
That was in
And here's the detailed one. Basically, you have to be the total tank, which would be from that line item, and then the core one here to say that the main operation.
Thank you.
Probably that one.
All right, so no new tax.
I've got them all. So yeah. From what Clinton said earlier, whatever rate we set, you can't go above. Just if we set a higher rate,
right?
Actually, need.
So we might come with a no new revenue, but we advise one to do not.
No.
So I guess what you're saying is we go back to last year's rate.
You need to do the voter approval rate.
What's that right?
That's just right over that in there. It's an election right.
Well, Laura, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
No new revenue. The tax rate that we approved.
I don't know. Did y'all go there immediately?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, but you ended up there.
Yes. Fine, giving us the broadest latitude, but there's a communication issue.
Right.
I mean, as I said, but when do we address the ARPA? Has to do with this.
That's kind of what.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next time we meet about this is when?
September 19th.
That's when we'll adopt the budget and the tax rate. I would recommend that we have another workshop since we have so many.
Two more workshops?
Undecided items in the budget to talk about.
And at this point, you know, we've talked about most of these things, major items. You know, we could have a budget workshop, for instance. You know, after you have a chance again to, you know, look at some of this information. As I mentioned earlier, when we look at everything that's plugged into the budget right now, with the voter approval tax rate, we still cannot do everything that we have plugged into. And it looks like we had 443 for police, and we also need to add probably 200 for municipal court. So there will definitely be some cuts that we have to make. A lot of the things that we're tonight, you know, whether it's salaries, what that percent is, getting the PD fire EMS back on track, or some of the capital. We're going to have to cut. And if you look at, if we go with the current tax rate applied in 2023, the difference between that, if you look at the sheet,
That's the difference, 779 and 1 million if you go voter approval rate. Now, another thing, you know, just a piece of information that we're talking about, you know, as staff, that voter approval rate for the $410,000 pass, that increases your taxes by $19 a month. That's what that increase is. Reduce it down to that monthly increase. $231,
$33 a year. $65.
Right. A lot of them are. Laura has those totals in terms of the total real estate in that category. And, you know, and Emily mentioned, you know, we're as younger folks paying for a lot of this.
Can we finish this? The at this point is the voter approval. With the understanding that the team will be come back off of it. But we can't go any higher.
Right.
So we vote.
I'll make a motion to approve the voter approval.
Voter approval. My second. Motion second to approve the voter approval tax rate 0.221664. These are the discussion. All in favor of the motion say aye.
It has to be a roll call.
Okay.
It does have to be a roll call.
That's right.
The motion. Mr. Watson.
Aye.
Mr. Joseph?
Aye.
Mr. Klein?
Aye.
Mayor?
Aye.
Motion passed. Voter approval. Right
here?
Yeah.
Next one.
So what we have to do now is we have to go back and find some judicious cuts.
Yeah. If the archetypes do need judicious cuts, yes, still need judicious cuts.
Either not going to be able to add some of the salary agents that enhance justification for positions again.
Let's go ahead and ask. All right, I'll take a motion to adjourn. Motion second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Let's see. Yeah. Well, when the chief says, here we go.